Well, this morning I wanted to talk about what today is, Palm Sunday. And I wanted to entitle this, the text, Palms and Willows. We know about the palm fronds. We have palm fronds right up here, palm branches. We've been in services before where the children and everybody would come down in the processional waving the palm branches. And we think all is good. Everything is great. And that's the way they welcome Jesus. But let's put this into perspective just a little bit. Our sovereign God had everything under control. Amen. And we knew what had to happen. Outside of the realm of our timeline, God is still sovereign. God is still on his throne. He always will, always has been, from now for eternity. And that's the way our relationship was with him when he made creation. God gave us life. He created all these things. And then we had the fall where man was separated. And then we developed the Levites, the Israelites, who was God's chosen people to go ahead and someday be able, from the Israelites and from that lineage, produce somebody that would be our Redeemer. Not just by a human form, but by a miraculous conception that we celebrated at Christmas. Wonderful, wonderful time. 30 years later, he began his ministry. He fulfilled the line of David through Israel. And we have this all under the umbrella of an awesome, mighty God, knowing that this had to happen. He is trying to make us kingdom people so that we will be there forever with him. Forever and ever and ever. All the things that we sing about, praises and praises and praises to the Almighty King, is due him. But then, why do we talk about the willows? I want you to go ahead and look in your Bibles, in the Old Testament, into Leviticus chapter 23. I don't know if anybody has really given too much credence to relevance of a willow branch. Does a willow branch have any strength to it? It's kind of limp. It doesn't have any strength. It's just there, isn't it? Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. Now, this is on one of the feast days. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Palm fronds, we know what it is. In the New International Version, it says leafy branches. These are like myrtle, I think it says in the King James. Myrtle gives off a fragrance. And the poplars here are the willows. And I think it is in the King James, it says the willows by the brook. Maybe that's where Willowbrook down in Shelbyville gets its name. I don't know. It could be. And it says here, you are to take these. It is emphatic. You are to take these. And then it says, and what you do with them, and rejoice. We got done singing all kinds of praises. We're rejoicing. We are rejoicing because of what today is, Palm Sunday. And we do this before the Lord your God for 7 days. This is in one of the required mandatory trips to Jerusalem, the feast for the Jews. But what you might look at here is why they are doing this. Why do they have all of these branches put together? This is called the luvav. That doesn't mean anything to you, but what that is in Jewish terms, if you take a palm branch, a myrtle branch, and the willows, and you put them together. Sometimes you put them in one in hand and one in the other. When you put them all together, there is something that you need to do, and that is to wave it 3 times. And when the priest, when all the things are being sung, Psalm 118 is being sung, praise to God, praise to God. When all this is done, then the priest will go around at the altar 1 time. what they say. It's a ritual. And what the priest says is, Hosanna, O Lord, give us help, O Lord, give prosperity. O Lord, you have delivered us. You have delivered us from Exodus. You have brought us through so much. You are the one that we believe in. We are the one we owe it all to. The reasons they went ahead and shook this three times, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, when they went ahead and did this, they shook it six different directions. East, west, north, south, up and down. Our God is awesome. He is all around us. It also represents all the different types of personalities, the humanity that we have, with short people, tall people, different personalities. It is all inclusive. Hosanna. Hosanna. And you remember this very same phrase from what they did when they started singing as Jesus went into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, riding on a colt that had never been broken before. That was a miracle in itself. But they were waving one thing, palm branches. Just the palm branches. You ever had a good day when everything was going right? Your wife smiles at you. Husband says, hi, girl, how are you? You know, everything's going great. Even your kids are behaving themselves. Your job's good, looking good. You get a promotion. You got a full tank of gas, no matter what the gas prices are. You're feeling pretty good. But what happens sometimes, in the blink of an eye, just like that, you get a phone call. And everything changes. You get a doctor's call. Your test results have come back. Or you get a call and somebody that you love has passed away. Your world is turned upside down. And all of a sudden now you're having a willow day. A willow day doesn't have anything on its own. If you have the palm day, if you have a palm branch, as they were waving the palm branches for Jesus, as you were waving the palm branches in the Old Testament, it meant victory. It meant you were successful. It meant that you had majesty, that you had joy, that you had all these things that are good. Life is good all the time. Do you worship God just because of the good times? What about when we really have a bad day? We have a willow day. What do we do when nothing goes right? When the sorrows come and the tears come, the tragedies come, the distress, the adversity, all of these things. We see this sometimes when we read the various accounts all through the Gospels. Every Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has an account of when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But then we read about what happened. They were all joyful because they were looking for somebody that was going to be a powerful king. Somebody that was going to deliver them from all of their sins, all of the oppression that the Roman rule had put upon them for years and years and years. And they were yelling, Hosanna, save us! Hosanna, do it now! And everything was going great. You know, if you were Jesus, I don't care if you were riding into Jerusalem on a colt or not. In myself, I would think, hey, this is pretty cool. Keep it coming. But Jesus, before he got into the city, he wept. Oh, Jerusalem. And he wept. Because he knew that he was in the center of God's will. He knew he had to be obedient. He knew he had to fulfill the Father's call for his life. And I think instead of calling it the triumphal entry, we should call it the tragic entry. if we start thinking about it in human terms, this was a tragedy. He knew what he had to do. He knew he was going there to die. He knew he was going to be there, and his disciples, his friends, were going to betray him. And not there, well, Judas betrayed him, right? He faced all that. He knew where he was going to be. Because these people who were now yelling and screaming and saying, Hosanna, welcoming their new king of Israel, in just a week was going to say, crucify him. Crucify him. And instead, give us Barabbas. Think about it. Now, what we know looking backwards, we can't put ourselves in those people's place who lined the streets with the palm trees, the palm branches. We know a little bit about what they were thinking. They were expecting something else. But where were they later? Put yourself in those people's places. I know many people, friends of mine, who would serve the Lord Jesus Christ today, except Jesus, in their minds, didn't provide for them what they thought he should have. He didn't answer their prayers the way they wanted to be answered. One of them lost a grandmother. One of them lost a daughter. But whatever tragedies that come up, you can use up any excuse that you want to. Because God did not answer my prayer. He was not what I expected. I will not follow him. I will be the one yet shouting, crucify him and give me Barabbas. Because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. So where is our palm frond, our palm branch, and where is our willow? Which one are we waving? Which one shows our humanity? When you look at the Old Testament, the rabbinical law concerning the waving and the celebration of the feast, there was a way that you had to cut the palm branches, the myrtle branch and the willow branch. They had to be so long, so big, so wide. Everything was detailed. It had a purpose. It wasn't just for an example. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. The willow branch was the least significant of all of them because it had no strength. Did you know, and I know that you do, Jesus is portrayed as the king, a priest, a high priest, all of this in the Old Testament. But on the other hand, he was also portrayed as a man of sorrows, familiar with grief. We see this all through the Old Testament. It is repeated often and often to the point where now in all of God's sovereign timeline, God right now has got him to the point where he is, where he is supposed to be. He knows where he's supposed to be. Jesus is fulfilling his destiny. He has been groomed. He has been pruned for such a time as this. He was focused on the cross. And if we ourselves as Christians focus on Jesus, if we focus ourselves on the cross, we will be victorious. We can have the bad days. We can have the good days. But through it all, Jesus is to be praised. Through it all. We can have the great days. And I said in a heartbeat, it can change to a willow day. Isaiah 15:7. You look that up right quick. Isaiah 15:7 says, so the wealth they have acquired and stored up, they carry away to the brook of the willows. You can have a great day, but have you ever had a great day and had it turn on you? It's scriptural. It will happen. But the question is, what will you do when it turns? What will you do when it turns? Will you go ahead and be like the others who will deny Christ? No, I never knew him. I'm emphatic. No, I don't want to know him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. because he did not answer in the way I expected him to. He is not somebody. God is not somebody that we can dictate to how we want things to turn out. We all know people who are suffering and never get relief on this side of heaven. But glory to God, when they get to the other side, you thank God that they are in no more pain, no more sickness, no more hurt. All is glorious. But whatever we find ourselves, we want to be like Paul, where he says, in all circumstances, I have found myself to be content. He can be in a palace, or he can be in a place of prison. He can be wealthy with plenty of finances, or he can be destitute. But he says, through it all, no matter what, whether I am in a palm day or whether I'm a willow day, praise be to God. I will give him glory. I will continue to give him glory. His praise will continually be in what? My mouth. I'm only on the first page. Life is like that. You'll have good days and you'll have bad days. Our God is the God of hills and mountains as well as the God of the valleys. But you know what? Even if we have bad days, just as quickly as bad news can come to us, night turns to day. The sun comes up tomorrow, and in just a heartbeat, God can do miracles. Miracles to us is uncommon. Things out of the ordinary. Things that's in our timeline that is not supposed to happen, but it does. Kind of like the weird stuff we talked in Sunday school this morning. But you know what? A miracle to God is every day. And we take so much of this stuff for granted. In the Jewish tradition, one of the things that we talk about so freely is the phrase Messiah. We think of Messiah as our Redeemer, and it is. But the word Messiah in the Jewish concept comes from a Hebrew word meaning to anoint. Now, in the Jewish tradition, in the Greek, this word Christos, or Christ, also means to anoint. So when Christ came into Jerusalem, and they were yelling, Hosanna, Messiah, this is the first time in all of Jesus' ministry, except for the woman at the well, where he revealed to the world that he was the Messiah. He was God's anointed to be doing what he is doing and focusing on the cross for their salvation. They had no idea. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. So here it is. This is the Passover week. This is the Passover where about a million, thousands and thousands, I've heard said up to about a million people, were going to be in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover. And here Jesus comes and he says, I'm revealing myself as the Messiah. But when he got to the city, it wasn't so much that he had to say something. The city was astir with who was coming. They recognized who Jesus was. He just got finished raising Lazarus from the dead. And where was Lazarus? In Jerusalem. So how do you keep something like that quiet? Somebody this powerful, somebody this great, they expected him to be God the Redeemer, and he is. But they also wanted him to be a powerful king of Israel. They quoted out of Zechariah to go ahead and be the king. What they said in John, I believe it is 19, he said, they added, and the king of Israel. So they wanted him to be something else. But when Jesus got there, he was being proclaimed as the anointed one. He is the Messiah. But he came humbly. no real, you know, I'm not the king here. I'm not riding this white steed. I'm not going ahead and coming with my armies to take over. No, he came humbly. And then when he comes again, he will come, what? In the air to take us home. Then in Revelation, when he comes back, he comes on the white horse. He comes on the white horse. Psalm 118:26 is one of the things that they sang during some of these feasts. Feasts of the Tabernacles and so on and so forth. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in John 12:13, he said, even the King of Israel. They wanted a political king Messiah. They shouted, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us. The suffering servant aspect, the second aspect that we want to look at real quickly about Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem. This is found, this theme is found in Isaiah chapters 40 through 55, but I want to take the time just real quickly to take a look at Isaiah 53. It's a passage that I know that you're familiar with. Starting with verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This describes our suffering Jesus, our suffering Messiah, whom the world could not identify with. They wanted something else, and so they rejected him. The palm and the willow combined in Jesus, showing his humanity and showing him as an awesome, awesome Son of God. In Psalm 137, I won't turn to it right now, but in Psalm 137, after the Babylonian captivity, the devastation was complete. The Jews looked back on their homeland that was gone to them forever. In fact, it wasn't restored for till 1949. And it says in Psalm 137, after the Jews were in the Babylonian captivity, they remembered their beloved homeland. Their hopes and dreams were lost. And this is what Psalm 137 says. There, over the willow trees, we hung our harps. No hope of future retrieval. So here it is in Jerusalem, and they were one day singing Hosanna, Hosanna. Here comes the King of Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And maybe they got discouraged. Maybe they got disappointed. Maybe the disciples got disappointed and disillusioned. Whatever it was, they hung their harps on the willow trees. They lost their hope. Now, there is hope. You and I know that there is hope. There's hope in the cross. Because in an instant like that, on Easter morning, everything changed. Everything changed. just as quickly as our days can become willow days, they can also become palm days, where we can stand up with the faith and the confidence and the knowledge that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, that He has bridged the gap and returned us in full communion with our holy God. We can do that and say, no matter what state I can find myself, whether rich or poor, in prison or whatever it might be, I will give praise continually from my lips to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation. We'll close with this. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That Lamb that was slain. Look what it says there in verse 9. From every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And what were they waving? Palm branches. What weren't they waving? The willows. When we are there in heaven, face to face, at the throne, rejoicing, glory, holy, 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 there is no more room for sadness, despair, agony, defeat, anything like this. It's all gone. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's gone. It's gone. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. And again, I say rejoice. Father God, we thank you this morning for your message of truth. We thank you for standing in the gap, Father, for us, because we could not have ever done it ourselves. This is why you came to earth, Father, that all might know you. Father, we can never, ever repay you, but we can give eternal thanks and rejoice always for what you have done. Let us not be blinded and deceived by what the world can bring to us. Let's not ever lose our vision of the cross. You came in a triumphal entry, Father, knowing what was before you. We have success only through you. We have blessings only through you. And we are forever grateful. Father, as we leave this morning, we ask, Father, that you would come into our hearts, our minds this week as we approach Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And as Jesus lay in the grave, we wait for Sunday. Father, thank you for being a Savior of our lives. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.